The Lord's been good to us. Today, Palm Sunday, 1976 was the day we moved onto this property from Herndon, and it was a great day. We believe that God had ordered our steps, and we believe that God wanted us to begin to train our own children up. How many of you are thankful for that direction the Holy Spirit gave us? Amen. We're in our third generation of training our own children up. That was something that we told this gentleman on the airplane. We don't have to worry. We take care of our own kids, praise God. We train our own children up. We protect our own children. And we don't throw them out into the world to learn the world's wisdom and their methods. But we train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And as we said this morning, that we have absolute confidence that as they grow and mature, they will not depart from it, praise God. So continue to pray along those lines. I believe it's an hour when God's going to begin to return many of these to us, our children and children's children, praise God, so that we can help them finish this race. Amen. Wanting to add new souls as we begin to go out again and evangelize home door to door and the many different methods. We're only a few weeks away from the car show, about 3 weeks I think it is, and just believing God to draw souls here onto this property that we can share the love of God and see a soul won. One soul worth all of these hours. Amen. That's how much God loved them. And when we put the proper value on souls, then we'll go to whatever lengths are necessary to reach that and to fulfill those ministries. What a great opportunity to go out and preach the gospel. You know, the freedoms are being taken away. As we're waiting right now, you can continue to pray for the ministry that is pending in India. And getting into that nation is getting more and more difficult. And as we shared with you, the Constitution is being slowly revised to make India a Hindu state, that the freedom of religion will be removed. The night's coming when no man can work. And as we look around the world, the opportunities to get the gospel out, you know, they're going to become less and less opportunities as the spirit of Antichrist continues to rise up and make place for the false prophet to come on the scene. Don't look for the Antichrist first. The false prophet's coming first. That whore, that church, that worldwide religion that's going to manifest itself. And so as we can see the compromise of all of the different belief systems beginning to take place, people becoming nominal in their beliefs. In other words, believing the doctrine, whether you be Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Christian, but truly living for yourself. We have so westernized the world. Our evangelism of westernization has had a greater effect than all of these religions put together. Everybody wants to dress like us, live like us, prosper like us. Some of them are already ahead of the game in fashion. They're wearing their clothes and they have holes and rips all in them. We have to pay big money for what they have naturally. But the point I'm making is the hour's coming when no man can work. So let's take the opportunities while they're here. Amen. And just delight in the souls that can be reached and added here into our midst. So we want to believe God and do war in the heavens with the principalities and powers that would oppose the outreaches that we have. And at the same time, always be ready and prepared that if this is a time when Father wants to, for some reason, purge us, chasten us, put us under pressure and trial, then so be it. The will of the Lord be done. Amen? But if not, we're not bowing before the enemy. Our God will deliver us. As they were getting ready to go into the fiery furnace, the three Hebrew children. But if he doesn't, amen, we're not serving your gods. We're not acknowledging that you have any power over us or over this gospel. It's just God letting you purify us. Aren't you glad that with every trial, there's a fourth man in the furnace? Hallelujah. You're never alone. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Praise God. And so just be prayerful and come against the powers of darkness and then not be taken up with that. But let's go out and preach the gospel and get involved. And so ask, you know, what ways you can be used. One other area that we're getting ready now for Africa, and we could still use some of our young people. Some of you who went through that very school we were just talking about. And you were trained and brought up and there could be a couple more men that we could use on this trip. We're adequate, but we could use some. So be prayerful about it. And the one thing to do is just be prayerful and find out, you know, is the Lord truly not speaking to me? Or am I sensing that I could go or might even should go? But I just don't know if I have the wherewithal or whatever. You know, I am so thankful. And as I'm able to be out and share about you all's commitment to the kingdom of God, it's unheard of that people would take a big portion of their vacations and go on missions trips. Now, it's done in other churches. But thank God for all of you that have and do that, and some of you habitually doing that. But the one thing we can never do is allow that to be a reason we don't go, is because it's going to eat into my vacation time. Or I can't afford it. Do you know that one Starbucks cup of coffee a day will pay your way to Africa? And so you could probably go first class on Cold Stone. The wherewithal is not an issue. It's just what we choose to use it on. And so be prayerful and see if the Lord might speak. These are just things, as we were talking about this morning, and we'll get into the word here in just a second, that we allow the word to do in our lives. This is the practical application of the word of God that we were talking about this morning. Here's ministry. Here's kingdom ministry. Here's eternal things that I can involve myself in. Am I distracted by the temporal and not even aware of it? Does it have such a hold on me and its wisdom? Oh, there's no way you can do that because of this and that. Did you even believe God? Did you even pray about it? You see, that's the wisdom of God. That's seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so some areas, as we're in this particular study of the wisdom of God, the Word of God being preeminent in our lives, these are practical ways that begins to take place. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs tonight, and we'll pick up where we left off this morning. We were talking about the wisdom of God through His Word and the power of God that can cause us to, is the only thing that can cause us to spiritually grow and mature. We saw in Peter's epistle how the sincere milk of the Word of God causes growth in our lives, and how important it is then for us to continually draw on that nutrition. We saw how the prophet said he found the word of God and he ate it. The Bible says that his wisdom, this word, is more precious to me and more necessary to me than my necessary food. So how vital this scripture is, this word is. It's alive, as we saw in Hebrews, and powerful. It's a living entity that has to get into our hearts. That can't be confined to the soulical realm or the intellectual realm. It has to become a part of us. And we said this morning, it's not just how we think. It's not our philosophy, ideology, theology. The word becomes who we are, not what we think or believe. God and His word are, and you need to become one with the word. The scripture tells us that God includes us in that great complexity as we're raised up and seated with Him. I say complexity, the Trinity, the Godhead. Jesus was the physical, visible manifestation of the Godhead. And He said we can come and live and abide in Him and dwell with Him and thus become a part of that fellowship. We don't become God, but we become one in the fellowship with God as we're raised up and seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? That communion, that God shares His wisdom with us, His power with us. And that fellowship is through the Word of God. It's through that time that we spend in the secret place of the Most High. And so He's wooing us and He's calling us to Himself. But He's warning us that in the midst of this hour that we're in, to be careful not to be seduced. Oh, beloved, the power that you and I are facing in this great horror. The apostate religious system, as the spirit of Antichrist rises, this secret power of lawlessness, every man doing what's right in his own eyes. When man is turned over to himself, he will create his own gods in his image. Amen? And as we've seen over the years, the great counterfeits, the greatest counterfeit that's brought damnation to millions is the counterfeit of Romanism. And they name the name of Jesus and they quote scripture, but they've added to it in contradiction to scripture. Amen? And they raise up gods, whether it be Mary or the Pope. And they hold church tradition and church authority equal with the Word of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen? And yet it all looks so good, sounds so good. It's the biggest group in the world who names the name of Jesus and yet exalts itself. And if we're not careful, we'll do that on an individual basis. And the only thing that can protect you from that kind of deviation, deception, is to live in the Word of God, to know the Word of God, to know the Spirit of God. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow, praise God. You see, when you're saturated with the Word of God, anything that's even one degree off doesn't sound right. There's something wrong with that. And so when we see the emphasis in so many ministries today being the peace and prosperity gospel that's being preached in a large segment of Protestantism today, it doesn't take but just a moment for the man who knows the Word of God to automatically just hearken back to Romans and go, wait a minute, these people are worshiping the creature more than the Creator. Amen? And that's what the word says is going to happen in this hour that we're living in. Anything that exalts man and man's needs and the needs of family and the needs of individuals and happiness and ease and comfort, that is not the emphasis of the gospel. The emphasis of the gospel is take up a daily cross and die to yourself and die to your own ambitions and die to your own will and be absolutely amalgamated into the kingdom of God and seek first the kingdom and His righteousness and let Him add all of these other things to you. Praise God. Those are two different doctrines, aren't they? But how easily we're swayed. We're seduced. The majority's going this direction. And so we go to the Word and we go, man, the majority believes that. He says, yes, but I'm taking you on a path that is very straight and narrow. And few there be that find it. What does the Bible say? The majority is wrong. Well, man, then I must be something super spiritual and special. No, He's chosen the least that He might show Himself mighty. Amen? If God can do this thing with you and I, He's God. Aren't you thankful He loves you tonight? Aren't you thankful that the Bible says it's not many mighty, it's not the wise of the world that He's chosen? You see, when you become a man and a woman of the Word, you're going to be always in opposition to the world and the majority. When the Word absolutely saturates your spiritual being and you're offended by anything that's contrary to the Word of God, you're going to be hated for His name's sake. As you come closer to doing the Word, the further you're going to be from the majority of the people on this planet. And it can appear to be lonely and it can appear to be difficult. But let me tell you something. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This yoke is easy and this burden is light. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Just got to believe the Word. I'll tell you what, it doesn't seem easy and it doesn't feel light sometimes, but the Bible says it is, so that's how it is. Praise God. Amen? So all these emotions and feelings got to be thrown aside and God be true and every man a liar. This thing is easy. Doesn't feel easy. Doesn't have to feel easy. God declared it easy. And the more you believe that and the more time you spend with God and the less involved you are in how you feel and how hard and how difficult it may be, the lighter and easier it becomes. As we become doers of this word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. What a privilege we have to access the heart and mind of God. As we meditate upon His word. And so we come here to Proverbs and all of the great wisdom out of Proverbs chapters 3 and 4. We could take the whole rest of the service and just read those chapters. You can't read these chapters without being blessed, amen? And just to live in the Word of God and in the wisdom of God. This third chapter of Proverbs, my son, forget not my word. Forget not my word. Let your heart keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments and they will not be grievous unto you. Isn't that what Jesus said? My son, keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Praise God. Now this doesn't mean that you're going to be popular with the world. What it's saying is, whenever God chooses, He will give us favor in the eyes of a man to bring about the wisdom and purpose of God. Amen? And we see that as the children of Israel were delivered from their bondage in Babylon. And we see how the deliverance took place and how the king had it put upon his heart to finally let the people return back and build their temple again. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and He turns it whatsoever way He wants. Whenever it's necessary, God will take men and turn them to favor you to accomplish His will and His purposes. They might not even like you, but God gives you favor. Amen? Amen. Are we going to let His wisdom be preeminent, be the source of our prosperity? One thing we're going to see here is that God wants us to prosper, but He wants to be the source of our prosperity. Too many of us would be content with prosperity any way we could get it. I don't mean by sinning or in ways that are, unlawful. I'm talking about hard work, our own wisdom. We're going to sit down and spend hours and hours and hours and study the market and how to invest. Why don't you seek the kingdom with all of your heart and let God add to you, praise God. Let God prosper you. Oh, I could tell you stories, many stories over all of these years. How this very thing took place where men will just walk up and put stuff in your hands that you never saw coming. I don't know why I'm doing this, but you've experienced that. We're going to see here in just a moment. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge God, and He will direct your path. Amen? And so all of our planning and all of our manipulation of circumstances and all of our networking to achieve this goal, you don't need all of that wasted energy and time. You don't need all of those weights and sins that do so easily beset us, the snares of this world system and methodology. Don't lean to your own understanding. Let me interpret that for you. Don't lean to your own understanding. Amen? We trust in our own knowledge, our own wisdom. We trust in our degrees. We trust in our experience. And I'll tell you, if you want to be a success, trust in God. And be a seeker of His wisdom and His kingdom. And He tells us that we will find favor in the sight of God and man. If you love this word, if you let it become the final authority in your life for all matters, God will show you favor. Hallelujah. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Why? Because He came not to do His own will, but the will of Him that sent Him. Amen? I've come, Father, not to speak my words, but the words of You who have sent me. I have meat to eat that you know not of, to do and keep these commandments and finish this work, praise God. So we're seeing here that there's two sources of wisdom and two paths to success. Choose God. You can get success by the world's methods. There's no question. But I need to remind you and remind ourselves that in that system it has its own God. Corinthians 4 tells us that, 2 Corinthians, right? The God of this world. Jesus did not rebuke the devil when the devil told Jesus, I am in authority over all of these kingdoms and all of this wealth, and it's mine to give to whoever I choose. And Jesus didn't say, no, it's not. I'm God. I'm in authority. He didn't question him on that. What did he do? He went to the Word of God. Amen. And as he did so often, he quotes the scriptures. Jump from this pinnacle and let the angels bear you up and men will know that you're the Son of God. And he said, it's written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Turn these stones into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bow down and worship me and I'll give you these things. It is written, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You see, this life that you and I are living really is pretty simplistic, isn't it? We don't have to do a whole lot of thinking. We need to do a whole lot of obeying. We need to follow Jesus' example and just go, wait a minute, I hear what you're saying. I see the rationale behind it, but it is written. Amen? Let it begin to flow out of you. Become one with the Word of God. Anything that opposes the Word of God needs to be opposed with, it is written. Thus saith the Lord, praise God. Oh, what an hour we're living in when men are establishing ministries based upon their own wisdom. And we see these churches being built, you know, with the mega thousands. And, you know, tragically years ago, I told you about having lunch with that man in Florida who had one of the largest and fastest growing churches in the Assemblies of God at that time. And we sat down together for lunch. And he began to weep and he told me, he said, Star, he said, this message that you're preaching on holiness, on the cross, he said, I wish I could get back to preaching that again, but that message won't build this church. It won't pay the bills. If we'll preach the message, God will pay the bills, praise God. But you got to lay your own ambitions down. It's got to be for the glory and the honor of God and not for men. I'm off track and let's go back to Proverbs here and just begin to see this wisdom of God. You'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. Don't spend all your time trying to find the path and God's direction. Spend your time fellowshipping with God and communing with Him and worshiping Him and making Him big and His ways great in your eyes. And He had already promises us that He will direct our path. He'll get us where He wants us to be. Amen. You remember the teaching we did years ago and walking in the Spirit, and we were talking about the thing that people miss on this Spirit-filled life is this, you know, we're so concerned with becoming, you know, finding out where God wants us and what kind of ministry we're supposed to be in, and am I supposed to have this for my vocation, and is this my life's mate? And we shared the simple phrase, get how God wants you and He can get you where He wants you. Amen? The wisdom of God is personal sanctification, getting how God wants us, not leaning to our own understanding. That's what Jesus said. He said, I have no agenda. I've come to do the will of He that sent me. Oh, beloved, if we could simplify this thing and stop fighting and pushing towards success so that we could obtain more and have preeminence and have titles and have retirement accounts. Nothing wrong with all of that. But what place does it hold in your life? If God's putting those things in your hands, if God is directing your path, then those things won't become harmful to you, because the blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. They don't distract you from seeking first the kingdom. If God's making you rich, you're not too busy for the kingdom. If God's making you rich, you're using your riches primarily for the kingdom. And so we understand the wisdom of God, and it is completely, completely diametrically opposed to the wisdom of the world. There is no fellowship with light and darkness. And so his admonition to us here is verse 7. Oh, dear Lord, help us to learn verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Turn to the person next to you and say, I think he's talking to me. Now confirm it. Yeah, I think he is. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. This wisdom of God. You can't improve on the Word. There are no exceptions to the Word. You can't add to or diminish from, as we're going to see in Deuteronomy in a moment, from the Word of God. And so he speaks and admonishes us, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from the evil of independence, of trust in self. That's the greatest evil there is. That's the original sin. I will become a god to myself. I will have the final say over my life. No, you won't if you're a believer. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Your life is no longer your own. You've surrendered yourself to the kingdom first. And so the Holy Spirit speaking through the wise man here and bringing us this wisdom. It says this word of God will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. You know, we quote that one scripture, and he sent his word and healed them. That word being the living word, Jesus, amen. But also the authority. There is power in this word. This word right here is alive and powerful. The truths of it invade the spirit realm. It invades the natural realm. As we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us and will make alive this mortal body. That's God's Word to you, and it brings healing and power and deliverance. Dear God, if He can resurrect us, He can sure make us whole now. Amen? Amen. Don't let the devil lie to you. Grab a hold of that tonight. We have Anne fighting for her very life here tonight. We need to hold on to that with her, praise God. That same Spirit is in her. He sent His Word and healed us. By His stripes we are a healed people, praise God. Why would we settle for anything less? And God is no respecter of persons. The same things that manifested in the first century of the church are manifesting today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Well, you know, that's just the old time gospel. No, it is the gospel, praise God. Heaven and earth will pass away. His promises will not pass away. We find churches today, you know, wanting to change the methods of evangelism so that they're not offensive. We need to go out and bring another gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the apostle said. It is the power of God to salvation. Amen? Those that are so fearful that in our churches today, if the gifts of the Spirit operate, then people will come in and they, you know, they won't want a fellowship because this is something that's so unique today. What a tragedy that what used to be common in the church can't be found anymore. And now it's so, so unique that people think it's wrong. The Holy Spirit's welcome here. In fact, we need to see more demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit. And I don't just mean tongues and interpretation or prophecy. We need to begin to see the miracle of God and the gifts of the Spirit working and the working of miracles in the discerning of spirits. It's His Word. It's how the church operates normatively. We're talking tonight about being people of the Word of God. And if we're going to be people of the Word of God, then we need to begin to see these things that the Scripture says are to be operating in our midst, operating. Amen? Or we don't believe the Word. Oh, we can say we believe that, but where's the fruit? Where's the evidence? Where is the gifts of healings, the working of miracles? We need to see more of it. It's the wisdom of God. It's how He set His church up to operate. I don't want to get too far off in this, but it's the same thing that's causing the weakness in so many other churches as it obtains to church polity, which is just a forms of government. Churches are no more than businesses today and have boards that they answer to. God sets men in place and God gives men authority and God holds them responsible for the oversight of our souls. And they're to set a course. And the Bible's very clear in Hebrews 13. And we know and acknowledge those that stand and have rule and authority. To the apostles, the keys of the kingdom were given. And what they bound on earth was bound in heaven. And we need to see that again in our church so that it would operate orderly and God's Spirit could move in power. And we could see the church be the church again. It's being despised today and nothing more than another institution in the world. But the church is unique and it's governed by the Word of God. And the world will stand back and go, oh no, everybody needs to have a say. There is no democracy in the church. The majority does not rule the church. Jesus rules His church through designated authority, praise God. And whether the world likes it or not, and natural wisdom likes it or not, it's the Word, praise God. But they become wiser than that today, and by doing so, do nothing but diminish the power and wisdom of God and become sucked up into the world's philosophies. Oh, let's go back and let God be God and be not wise in our own eyes. And it will become health, praise God. It will become health to our navel and marrow to our bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all of your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. And your presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord. Amen. Honor the Lord. We don't give to a church. We don't give to projects. We honor the Lord. We give to God. Amen. And He said, and I'll bless you, praise God. My son, verse 11, despise not the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, verse 12. We're living in a world today where everything we want, if it's not comfortable, if it's not easy, it must not be God. God wants His church to grow up. We're a weak people. That generation before us, I was talking to a man as we were getting ready to depart the ship, and we stayed on, our plane was a little later, so we stayed on the ship and we're some of the last people to leave. And we were in the lounge and sitting there and talking to this guy, and we got talking about the great generation, the military, and he was like the first baby boomer. So he was a little older gentleman. And I'm not going to say he's old because he really wasn't that many years beyond me. But as we got talking and about service, and so I asked him, I said, did you serve in the military? And he said, yes. He said, I was started out in the Air Force. And I asked him about whether he went to Nam. And he said, no. He said, they actually grabbed me for something else. And I was an electrical engineer. And so then his wife began to talk for him. And talk some more. And so she told us his story. He nodded. And she began to share. She said, yes, she said he was contacted by NASA. And he was sat down by the director of NASA and told that he was going to oversee all of the geologists to determine what the moon was made out of, because Congress wouldn't give the money until they knew whether they could land and there wasn't 80 feet of dust. And so he said, I told the director of NASA, he said, I'm not a geologist, I don't know. He says, you don't have to be a geologist. He said, you're going to have some of the smartest men in the world around you. He said, let me tell you something. I don't know how to put a man on the moon, and they're holding me to that, so put on your big boy pants and do this. So he said they went to work, and they finally went to Congress, and he said they walked into Congress and said, it's a rock, and we can land on it. So I said, I watched that landing. I said, how sure were you? He looked at me and he grinned and he said, there were some tense moments. Probably would have got fired if that capsule had gone out of sight in 80 feet of moon dust. But see, we already knew that from the Bible. And the wisdom that's in this book as it pertains to every aspect of life. You know, if you read it casually, the Bible tells us where oil is and where certain minerals are located. Now, don't start searching the scriptures. You can go out and hunt gold and... The point I'm making now is the word is not spooky. It's practical. It deals with who we are as God's creatures. It's written to bring us to a conformity to the image of Jesus and to cause us to live personal sanctified lives for His glory and to be witnesses and soul winners for the kingdom of God and to love one another and edify the church. And other than that, we have no reason for being. So we don't need to be bothered with all of this stuff. We have only one assignment. Jesus knew it and did it well, and all we have to do is emulate Him. But this word is alive and energized. Without it, we lose our faith. We keep the knowledge and we think we have faith because we have the knowledge. But we have to daily re-energize ourselves with this Word of God. Amen? We have to sit down and put it in our spirit and eat it. Desire for it more than our necessary food. The Scripture goes on and tells us, it says, it will bring us, verse 16, length of days, riches and honor, her ways, wisdom, the Word of God, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. Do you know what people would pay for just those two verses? Do you know how much money is spent on visits to the psychologists? Looking for what? Peace, understanding. These things that the Word of God is to us. If we'll seek them first, lean not to our own understanding. Oh, beloved. It's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon it. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Amen? You happy tonight? Well, I have the joy of the Lord. No, I asked if you were happy tonight. Are you one of the little dwarfs? You know? You say, yeah, grumpy. No, this passion for the Word of God. You know, as we read into the fourth chapter and look at the declarations of how precious this Word is, we see here that she's the tree of life. More precious than silver and gold. This communion with and fellowship with the Word of God. What it brings to us, this happiness we just read. This peace, this understanding. The euphoria of it. There's nothing like it. You know what I'm talking about. You know what those times when you're prayerfully before God with His Word open and His life is pouring into your spirit and it doesn't matter if the house is burning down around you. You're there at peace in God. Amen? Don't you want to live there? Isn't this what we want for our children, to teach them that this is what the Word of God will bring you? The happiness, the peace, the satisfaction, the fulfillment is not in a job. It's not in a life mate. It's not in material things. It's in the presence of God. This Word is more precious than rubies, this wisdom. It's better than cold stone. Do you love it? Do you know what people have done around the world to obtain just one page? Do you know what people have suffered to just retain one page as they're being held in different parts of the world, whether it was communist China or some of the other areas where people have been persecuted and martyred for the gospel's sake? How precious it is as they devour it and memorize it and then pass it on to someone else. As they sit down with their children, the next generation. And if those children are going to learn anything, it's going to be the book, praise God. Oh, how it's been devalued. Not only because it's so accessible, but tragically because we've diminished its wisdom and its absoluteness as it pertains to life and truth because of the confidence in our own wisdom. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with medical science, but I'm saying there is something wrong with seeking it first and not even thinking about the Word of God. Trusting it and not trusting the Word of God. Going the medical route and then trying to add the Word to it. Why not go the Word route and if you have to add a little bit of the medical to it? How do we see it today? We'll finish up with this for tonight as we go on. This tree of life that brings happiness to those that will retain her. We saw this morning out of Matthew 13 that if we don't retain the Word of God, if we don't unite with it as the Greek is there, and they understood it not, or they were not united and in full agreement with, and Satan comes immediately and takes the Word out of our hearts. The Spirit speaks toward that same principle. My son, verse 21, let not these things depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto your soul and grace to your neck. Then shall you walk in the ways of safety, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Praise God. What would people give for that today? Now see, we're addressing this from the aspect of not only our own lives, but we're talking about making sure that this next generation is being raised up. Amen. With this sure foundation. To be able to look into our children's eyes and without apology say, as the apostle said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. This thing doesn't fly. Do as I say, not as I do in the kingdom. And so the wisdom of God goes on, and we'll unhook with this for this evening. Chapter 4, verse 2. I want to give you good doctrine. How many of you are always ready for sound doctrine? Amen? Let me give you some good doctrine. Forsake not the word. There's some good doctrine. Let the word be preeminent. Let the word become profitable for reproof and rebuke and instruction into righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Amen. Let the word be what it was given to us for, that that brings us instruction, that that brings us reproof, that rebukes us, praise God, and instructs us into righteousness. Seek it first. Approach the word of God without confidence in your own wisdom, and be teachable. We come to the Word with preconceived notions. You should learn something every time you go into the Word of God. You should come away from the Word of God every time going, wow, thank you, Lord, man, I never saw that. Thank you for that nugget. Thank you for that peace. Thank you for that instruction. Thank you for that reproof. the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We'll end with verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all of your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee honor when you embrace her. She shall give your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory will be delivered to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy flesh shall be many. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led you in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Be teachable. Seek the wisdom of God. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Father, we thank you for your word tonight and your presence. We thank you for this wisdom and the grace that would enable us to obey. And we know that we're going to be opposed not only by the world. The church doesn't want to do your word. The professed church. Looks at us, Lord, and mocks us and despises us. Because we simply read and do your commandments. But it's a delight to your heart that someone would fear you and obey you. It's a delight to your heart that someone would hold your wisdom far above their own. It's a delight to your heart that we would esteem you the source of all that we have need of. You've redeemed our souls. You've purchased us with your precious blood. You've called us your children. You've raised us up on high to be seated with you. You've ordained us to bear fruit. You've filled us with your power to show forth might and miracles and signs and wonders. And you have promised us that you're coming again to receive us to yourself, that where you are, there we may be also. And we say thank you, Father. We say thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we are so thankful for your word and your presence, and we don't take it for granted. We who were no people have become the people of God. And we thank you for that. We are so unworthy, but you are so worthy. And so we esteem you great, high, and lifted up. We will not lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways we acknowledge you, and you will direct our path. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, lean not to your own understanding. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.